This is Paul Wilson of Karate Cafe. Right now we're both listening to Practical Defense. And come to think of it, that's really weird. For me, I mean. Honestly, there's a good chance that I'm not really listening to it at the exact same moment you are. But, in essence, we are both...
Welcome to the Practical Defense Quick Tip of the Week. I am your host, Alex Addix. Quick tips are small things, little habits, which will hopefully help keep you a little safer. Back in episode 183, I presented the difficulty that we all face when forced into a lethal force defensive encounter. It was a tough introspective look because it can be very difficult to admit something that might be impossible for us to do. I received a handful of emails on that particular episode and even more personal discussions. I'll read a few of them and then discuss them afterwards. The following is a post by John to the Facebook page. Quote, another podcast that makes me think about self and home defense. Masad Ayoub has been someone I respected since his first days of writing over 30 years ago. I have an autographed copy of In the Gravest Extreme. With all that, I have to say I disagree with the statement that if you cannot shoot a deer, you will not be able to shoot a perp. I am that person. I would not have any trouble dropping the hammer, if needed, on someone attacking my family member or me, but I will not shoot an animal for the quote-unquote sport of it. And yes, I eat a lot of beef, pork, chicken, and turkey. I have no problem with killing animals for food, but in my opinion, most hunters are not in it for the purpose of providing food on the table. By the way, in my younger years as an alarm response guard, I had made the choice that I was going to go home at the end of my shift. Thanks, John. I heard from a lot of people that shooting an animal is voluntary and shooting in self-defense is involuntary. All claimed to be able to go the full distance when presented with a scenario where it was them or the criminal. I also pointed out in my response post to John that the fact he worked as armed security put him in a different category than the average citizen or even licensed carry holder. He had training and a support system not available to most of us. The next comment is from my good friend Paul Wilson of the Karate Cafe podcast. He writes, I gotta say, I disagree with the hunting suggestion. I do agree that might be a suggestion to overcome the hesitancy in defensive situations, but I think it does not address the problem. The problem, in broad strokes, is being able to perform the quote-unquote final option in a defense situation using deadly force. I say, however, hunting will not provide much help in that area. The situations are completely different. In modern times, when hunting you're actively tracking and ending the life of an unsuspecting animal solely due to its deliciousness and or decoration value. I'm ignoring the conservation angle, but it's also counter to Massad's theory. In a defense situation, the most dangerous game, man, is attacking you. One might argue that the majority of civilian defenders, given the time or ability to process the situation, would have a hard time pulling a trigger or implementing deadly force in general. In hunting, unless you come across a predator that attacks you, then maybe you could call it an equitable scenario, but only if you discount the reasons why the animal is attacking you. And Paul goes on to mention something about hating lefty pinko granola huggers, but that's not germane to our topic. There are subtle consistencies between the two responses I read, plus all of the other comments I've received. I'll focus on the voluntary versus involuntary aspects. Hunting is seen as voluntary. Defending with lethal force is seen as involuntary. In the defensive scenario expressed to me, the defender consistently absolves himself or herself of the voluntary nature of the lethality. Applying lethal force defensively is also voluntary. You don't have to defend yourself. You could let the scumbag hurt or kill you. That is totally an option. History is filled with pacifists who let themselves be killed rather than take up arms in defense. By the very fact that in every instance the defender places the blame of the lethal nature of the response back on the criminal attacker speaks to our nature of not wanting to apply deadly force, even in our own defense. The primary point I tried to make back in episode 183, and then trying to make again here, is that do not think lethal force defense is easy. It is extremely difficult, and we are hardwired against it. Now, I even went back to Mass and asked him about the responses and his opinions on the matter. And here's his response. Quote, The point I try to make in class is that if you can't kill an animal because the act is too repugnant to you, you might be kidding yourself if you think you can kill a human, even under defensive circumstances. I understand the rationale of the person who believes they could kill a human in self-defense, but would not kill an animal he didn't need to kill. However, we're on the same wavelengths. Not every situation is the caricatured bad guy from a Charles Bronson film. Sometimes the guy who needs to be shot is someone you desperately don't want to shoot, but must or die. Thus, the exercise of forcing oneself to kill when they don't want to, so they'll be more sure that they can when they need to. We must take into consideration how challenging it might be for us to do this thing. If we're incapable of actually using that knife or firearm in our own self-defense or the defense of others, then those tools that we carry might be nothing more than a false sense of security. And remember, I'm all about exposing false security measures. Consider your choices long and hard when making your defensive tool selection. As always, you can follow my daily tips on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, I'm Practical Def, and Facebook is Practical Defense. The show now has mobile phone applications for both Android and iOS. Oh, and a quick note about Facebook. We do have a forum on the Gun Rights Radio Network boards, but we get the most traffic and interaction on our Facebook page. And finally, don't forget that I am running a knife survival seminar at the end of this month on Saturday, September 24th. Check-in is at 1:45, and the training lasts until 4 p.m. Pre-registration is required, and you can find a link on my website at alexhaddix.com. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexhaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe. Practical Defense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Hey everybody, we are
Lady Antebellum.
Before every show, we practice. Gotta be prepared.
Exactly, and the American Red Cross wants us to be prepared too. Prepared for disaster.
Just take 3 steps to be Red Cross ready. Create a disaster supplies kit with water, food, and a first aid kit. Make a family communication plan, and listen to local radio and TV reports to stay informed.
It's that simple. To learn more, visit redcross.org or contact your local Red Cross chapter today. Thank you so much.